Welcome to another edition of This Is Silly with the Wilgans, brought to you by Your Electric. This is Mitch. With me is Brad.
Hey.
Mr. Bird.
Hey.
And nobody else. We're going to have a guest tonight, call-in guest, but that didn't work out. So we'll just leave it as a teaser.
Yeah, we'll hope to get that special guest on soon.
It's and no, it's not Greg.
So. Yeah, I thought we had a phone in from Greg.
no phone in from Greg. But okay. But we do have lots of good guests to come up this year, so this is probably our last podcast of the year, actually.
Yeah, we're talking about doing a special holiday podcast, and we'll maybe speak more about that later. But,
yeah.
It's so special, none of us have to be here to do it.
That's what makes it ultra special.
Wait a minute, I still have to.
I almost called in tonight on the phone just because I couldn't be bothered to drive.
You know, you want to save that until gas is back up to $3 again.
Yeah, no kidding.
With a Prius, you can get even further now.
I know.
Spend like $10 now,
feel
don't you?
Stupid.
Yeah. Better go out and buy that Escalade while you can afford
pay
it.
Pay for gas with change.
But amazing that $2 is exciting.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a while.
It has been. Thanks a lot, Obama.
We have... Again, we say this every podcast, for the off season, we have a ton of things to talk about.
What are we going to do during the regular season?
I don't know if we'll have time. We might just have to stick to soccer.
Wow. I don't ever talk like that, Brad.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, but really, there's a lot going on. You know, I've just got a bunch of notes written down, so we'll just kind of hit them like a dartboard and see what happens.
Well, why don't we start with Saturday?
Let's start with Saturday.
Because Saturday was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the Luligan ladies, which is Andy and some of her friends.
Not our friends.
No, our friends too. They threw a holiday party. It's usually the American Outlaws holiday party. Well, this year we combined efforts.
Well, since we're all crossbred anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's... Although one guy... One guy was there, and I said, "Oh, hey, it's nice to meet you. I've never seen you before. Are you excited to come out to FC or St. Louis FC games?" Huh? I was just like, sour note.
Yeah.
But other than that, everybody else was excited. And
he's a Grinch.
I just don't know what was going on there.
I don't either.
So, anyway, American Outlaws and St. Louligans, a lot of overlap, but we had a good party at ITAP Soulard.
And they had something special at ITAP.
They had the St. Bruligans ale available from second shift on tap.
And it was quite popular.
Yes.
I even got a couple of non-attendees to drink it.
Nice.
One was a drunk asshole that I probably could have told him to drink piss and he would have.
Yeah.
But there was some hipsters that came in later on trying to figure it out.
Cool.
And I said, "Hey, you know what you should try? You should try that." And talked to them a little bit, and then they're like, what soccer team? And I said,
"We still got work to do. There's still people that need to know about this
but
team."
That's all it takes sometimes. Just a little nudge, and they're on their way.
Yep. Here's a magnet. Here's information.
The Bruligans, I will say, it is popping up around stores around town, but it is selling out quick because it wasn't a big batch that they made. But the good news is it's selling so well, I think they're going to do another batch. So.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Because I got 7 bottles at Fields Foods, who were happy to see us buy that many and wanted to keep us in the loop for the next round.
Yeah, I know Wine and Cheese Place had some. I think Friar Tuck's and Randall's got some, but I'm not sure how many at each location. Yeah,
Randall's didn't have any when I'd been there a couple times. So. And I had to be very, very disciplined to walk out of there not buying $100 worth of other stuff.
Yeah.
That was hard.
So keep an eye out for it. And if you're at, I know Amsterdam has it on tap and ITAP has it on tap. So try it out. Let us know what you think.
It's good.
It's good stuff. And if you can't find it, buy something else from Second Shift because supporting them supports us ultimately.
It's all one big happy family.
Yep.
And they're local. They're a local company.
That's right.
And they make good beers.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of other beers at ITAP on Saturday in case you needed to get a break from Bruligans.
Oh, yeah.
They're not short of a brew, are they?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
My wife sat there at the bar for like 10 minutes trying to decide what to drink. And I said, "Eventually, hon, you just have to pick one and go and get something different the next time."
Yeah, that was when George and Becky showed up. It was like, well, what should I get? And I'm like, here, this is what you're going to get this time, and this is what you'll get next time. It's like, you just have to take command of it and own it. And but there was a really good turnout, and
Lots of toys.
Four really big boxes of toys.
Yeah, I'd say they were probably 2 to 3 foot square.
Yeah, and those were going to Cardinal Glenn and Children's Hospital.
Yes, congrats to Andy for making that happen. I want to call out Sarah Robertson specifically, because she brought in a shit ton of toys. I think she was the big Santa Claus generous person of the day.
And I also want to make special notice of Malia.
Oh yeah.
Malia brought in some quality food.
Did she?
I think I love her now.
The one thing she sat down on the table, there were like 5 or 6 guys sitting around it, and it was gone immediately.
I referred to them as the vultures.
Yeah.
Because they were all hunched over like carrion.
You had to fight your way in there to get a little bit.
I mean, we all love Eric Von Nieder, and he's the tailgate king, but dude, you've got some competition next week, I'm telling you.
I think if they combine forces...
Oh, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Everybody in this group will be as fat as me. I think that's almost a guarantee.
So big thanks to Malia and Andy, and I know Jen brought some food, and Sarah brought some food. I know Liz and Jesse, and there were other people involved in Pat Ryan's wife. I can't think of her name right now.
Mrs. Ryan.
a lot of people were involved in planning that party. My wife snuck her way into the picture. She didn't do anything. She just rode along with me.
Usually that's enough, actually.
Yeah, well.
As being a Brad Wrangler, we pay our dues in other ways.
You know, I was a good boy. I was able to drive home from the event even. I didn't drink too much.
My wife was in the picture, and I drove home too.
I did go to Bogart's afterwards, though, and get some ribs to go.
Good. I'm proud of you.
Nice plan.
Yeah, that's good. They were closed by the time I left. Oh. But then again, I had so much of Malia's food that getting food was...
Well, yeah, I got it, and I ate it the next day. I was full from Malia's bountiful harvest, but...
that sounds sexual.
Gail can cook. My goodness.
Well, she's a scientist. She uses science to cook, I think.
Science!
Okay, so that was the Christmas party. Thanks for everybody who came out, and thanks for everybody who donated and made it happen. So
good time.
While we're talking about events and... the event that was before that, the week before, St. Louis FC hosted a Meet My Seat for the season ticket holders. And
is this sexual again?
Yes.
Okay.
And we also did the MLS Cup final out at Soccer Park. Here's an interesting thing. People are always talking about how much it costs for the season tickets, $150, which I get's not free, but it's pretty cheap. I think on that day, I ate enough food and drank enough beer that I went over the $150.
Not a ball has been kicked yet, and I've got value for money.
Right. I mean, they had a big buffet set up with hamburgers and hot dogs.
They didn't have to do for us what they did.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
They had an open bar. They had free sodas.
And it wasn't just open bar as in here's some Budweiser and Bud Light. There was Urban Chestnut. There was...
O'Fallon. Yeah, I mean,
there was a lot of choices.
They had sodas for other people that didn't drink. They had tons of food.
They had a hot dog bar with chili and cheese.
Yeah, and I went back like a couple times. I had hot dogs a couple times throughout the day. Yeah, they had hamburgers.
Those little sliders were awesome.
So if you're worried about not getting your $150 worth,
I ate your $150.
Yeah, you know, the sooner you get in, the more events like this you get to come to.
They didn't have to do what they did for us, but we sure did appreciate it. Let's not kid ourselves.
And no.
We keep going on about the organization doing things right, and this was just another example thereof.
Definitely.
You know.
And they had some new merchandise out. I see Matt's wearing the new
distressed
T-shirt.
I didn't see those. God damn it.
They are available on the website.
Oh. They have stuff in stock, peoples?
They have some more stuff. Here's the thing. We always talk about how great they're doing. That's the one thing that I think maybe they're not doing as well as they should. And it's because people are buying the stuff. I mean, people are buying them out, and it's like getting close to the holidays, and my wife's like, I want to get you stuff for Christmas. And it's like, you know, well, they're running out. I wish they had that store a little more stocked. But
it's like going back to the Brueligans. We can't find anywhere because they're running out.
Right, exactly. I guess it's a good problem to have. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it was fantastic. We had my niece's birthday party Saturday. And here comes a little 7, 8-year-old kid running around in a T-shirt.
And it, the St. Louis FC
and
t-shirt.
And I was like, holy
yeah.
shit, that's a STL FC t-shirt. And it wasn't a Gallagher one. It yeah. was the yeah. STL FC specific
shirt. I've got to be honest, I got really excited a couple of weeks ago because I saw a car sticker on another car. And I didn't recognize the person who was driving it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't one of us.
It right.
And it was like, I'm going to follow you, see where you live. You know, kind of thing.
But that's such a, I mean, that's I know, exactly
yeah.
it
it's
now.
Good,
it's
good
signs
to see
there.
That around it's, town, yeah.
You know, those people that haven't heard are going to start seeing that sticker and start getting it. I mean, that's, it's happening the right way.
And it goes back to, you know, there was the open bar and all the food and stuff, and I thanked Jeremy profusely for putting on the event for us. He said, well, at the end of the day, Matt, you just went and spent $50 in the shop. So, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's, yeah. it's a constant revolving door mm-hmm. of in and out. And at the end of the day, we still get a pro team.
And, again, there's going to be a lot more events as we lead into the season. So get those season tickets now, and you can come to these things with us and, you know, get special scarves or you know magnets, stickers, you know, that they're handing out.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, the team hasn't happened yet. We've gotten two scarves, pint glasses, a buffet of decent food.
Yeah. A bus trip to Indianapolis.
Yes. Yeah. and it's not even 2015 yet.
Yep.
I mean, you know, they have yet to actually have a scrimmage.
Haven't
of
officially signed a player yet.
Yes.
We'll talk about publicly, that in a second, yes. But
yeah, I mean, and they're giving us tons of shit. That's a hell of an investment.
So, we don't even have to talk about the game. The game was kind of,
I left.
Mitch had things to do, but I mean, Landy got his story. He got his sixth ring. Galaxy got their fifth. Jossie's artist scored. That's kind of a nice story for us because Jossie came up through the LA system, and I think he played a game for Los Dos last year. Just to get some more time in, and you know, by the end of the season, he was a starter and doing well.
I think it's a nice story is the fact that Don Dwyer used to play in this league, and he's now with Sidney Leroux.
Yeah,
that's a story.
Yeah.
That's a cap in the USL Pro feather right there.
Yeah, that's getting promoted, son. I don't care who he was dating before; he promoted himself when he went with got with Sidney Leroux. So
every picture he takes of with her should just be two thumbs up. Like that's right. He won.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, no matter what happens, he's always going to have Instagram. See her? I dated her.
That explains why she took a photograph of her at a Chiefs game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, and I mean, the ladies tell me he's a pretty good-looking guy, too, so.
Yeah, the eyebrows kind of terrify me, though. But to be fair, I wasn't really looking at him.
You know, even though he's English, there's still rumors that he may.
Oh, he's. I believe he's applied for citizenship.
Has he applied? So he could play for the United
absolutely
States national
could,
team.
Yeah,
because he hasn't had any caps, has
no,
he?
No, he absolutely could play. Yeah.
So there you go. If they get married
excuse
in
me,
their
I've,
U.S. national team
I've,
shirts.
I've not played for England yet either.
Oh.
You know.
There's still a chance.
I've got 4 years of NCAA eligibility and not ready to go.
And you have not been on top of Sidney Leroux either.
Were you in a parking lot in Detroit?
meet my seat event.
Oh, sorry. That's an inside joke. Sorry. We try not to do that, but I can't explain what it's about or we'd get thrown off the podcast. I think Apple would terminate her.
Nah, it's about buttholes. That's all.
Okay. Let's move along, shall we? Speaking of events, again, coming up January 3rd, we're going to have our second annual charity soccer food drive game with American Outlaws.
Yes. I cannot wait to actually participate.
So we'll be putting more information about that on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. But it's going to be fun. Last year we raised an Explorer full of food.
It was 400 meals. Yeah.
400 meals.
That's the benchmark. We've got to beat that benchmark. 400 meals.
So we're going to do that this year.
And now the nice thing is that it's going to be closer for a lot of people. It's at, you know, soccer park. They're putting us on the big field. This is a field where the U.S. men's national team did qualifying games.
This is as close as you're going to get to stardom.
Yeah. In a lot of ways. But, I mean, but this is a legit field to be playing on. It's going to be a good time, a lot of fun, but most importantly, we're going to raise a shit ton of food for the food pantry because after the holidays, they're usually low, and it's a hard time for them.
And again, St. Louis FC stepping up to be a part of that and help us make it happen.
I think Jack Burton posted a thing online about what they need. I mean, if everyone just comes with cans of tuna, it's a bit pointless.
Right.
You know, they also need diapers, wipes, baby formula, things like that, other non-perishable items. As I say, it's on the Luligan Facebook page somewhere. Jack posted
we'll,
the list.
Yeah, and we'll post it again soon. And we'll post some guidelines. Some people are asking if they can play. We'll post some sort of guidelines about, you know, who's eligible to play.
Yeah, Mahoney's putting a lot of that stuff together. He and Jason Petrillo have been working on it. We're getting to that point here. But the important thing is showing up and bringing food, even if you can't play.
Yeah, just come out and have fun. Watch the game with us. And
yell at Kenny. And
yeah.
You know, that's really a sign that you've made it as a Luligan. If you're yelling at Kenny,
yeah,
you're part of the crew.
You can try out for the taunting squad, sit in section 8 and yell things.
Yeah, that's. I guess if we're going to be out there, does everybody have to sit in section 8 pretty much?
Yeah, that would be funny if
nobody
no
sits
one else,
anywhere
yeah.
else.
So
that works for me.
We'll see how that goes. But again, more information coming soon on that, and everybody is invited. Okay, now it's time for all the news.
That's fit to print.
And there's been tons of news, tons of news.
I don't even know where to start.
I don't know what I can say, what can't say, what's on the record, off the record. So I apologies in advance if I let something slip. Right,
I'm going to go ahead and put my finger on the mute button. And just
first, let's say what's coming up for St. Louis FC.
Players.
We know they've signed a few. They're waiting for a few more, and they're going to do a big unveil with several players.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Once it's been established, you don't want to unveil one player at a time, because then he's got the burden of being your first signing.
Well, and then they can maybe have an event where meet several of them at once, things like that. So that's coming very soon. Another thing that's coming very soon. Jeremy told us that this week was the USL AGM meeting down in Florida.
Really? I didn't hear any news about it.
Yes.
It looked nice.
Where all the USL teams, not just pro, the PDL and the W League and all the Youth League, Super Youth League, whatever it's called, they all came together. You know, they share best practices. They talk about the plans for the upcoming season. But we did find out that our affiliate situation, who everybody's always wanting to know what's going on with that, that has been ironed out. There's a few more things that have to be done, but it could come as soon as this week.
Ooh.
So, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to keep you on pins and needles. We all know it's Chicago Fire.
Who?
Chicago Fire.
What?
MLS club. They play just north of us, like 6 hours.
Like Iowa?
Kind of by Iowa, but...
I've never heard of
this.
It's
that small town to the east of Rockford.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the ones with the assholes that follow the hockey team.
Yes.
Okay.
But their soccer club's the Chicago Fire, and we will be their partner.
Yay!
Now, having said that, I'm sure something catastrophic will happen, and the deal won't get done, because that's the way things go.
We are recording a podcast, so usually, without fail, news happens tomorrow.
It's probably happening right now.
But if it falls apart with Chicago, we can always have the Arabs with NYCFC just step right in.
Yeah.
You know, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
We'll have some bright blue shirts.
Matt, I'm sorry. I know you're newer to the country, but it's pronounced Yankees, not Arabs. Yankees.
they're not paying the checks.
No.
A few more things with St. Louis FC coming up. There will be another set of tryouts in January. These will be, again, not open tryouts, but the invites. They're going to take people they had from the first invitationals and from the open tryouts, and maybe a few more people that have shaken loose since then, bring them in, try them out.
Landon
should be available, yeah. I don't think he's under any contract anywhere.
I don't think he's got anything going on.
The season will start, as we've said, in March. But the preseason starts mid-February. So
woo-hoo.
Now I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Mid-February is technically 2 months away, people.
Yeah,
and I don't know what sort of friendlies we're going to have or what kind of workout games, but I'm sure we'll be invited out to watch. You know, some part
we're gonna
of the
crash
preseason.
Whether or not they invite us.
We can stand outside the fence. The other big thing that people have been waiting on is the kit. Oh, wait, the schedule. USL Pro schedule will be out in January.
You teased the people.
Sorry. The USL Pro schedule will be out in January. Last year it came out late January because they were still working out the deal with AZ United. They were being bought out and
moving and all that.
This year we're still waiting on a few things to fall into place. A couple teams still don't have their home field locked down yet. So we've been told mid-January. Let's hope for mid-January.
Now we're allowed to talk about the...
We'll get there. Well,
all right. Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay. Easy, Tiger.
Okay.
Yeah. But mid-January, still not bad. Still gives you plenty of time to make arrangements. And I hope that'll be another little boost for the club and ticket sales as well.
Yeah, all these little things we're talking about, you know, whether it's the affiliation, whether it's player signings, the schedule, things like this, hopefully will just be another little bump to get the tickets rolling a little more. But as I mentioned earlier before I interrupted myself, the kit is expected the first part of February.
God, I can't wait. I mean,
I know it's long. I know I'm, you know, I yelled at Jeremy when he told me February because I want it now.
Well, but, I'm glad that you're building a relationship, Mike.
Well, I think, you know.
Listen, Veruca Salt, settle down.
You know I've yelled at many a team official in my
this is
days.
Valid point, valid point.
I yelled at him with love. Like, February, why do I have to wait that long? But February.
I want it now.
He said they're planning a bunch of events leading up to it, which, you know, I'm sure will be player appearances and sponsorship signings and things like that. So he said there are going to be announcements continually from now until the kit release. Mm-hmm. So as much as we all want the kit today, it's going to be February.
I don't want it today. I want it 3 months ago.
Well, yeah. So please, please, please bear with them.
And it's going to be Nike. We know that.
We know it's Nike, yes.
And it's probably going to be solid. I mean, let's be honest. We've seen some really shitty kits come out lately.
I've worn some pretty shitty kits.
So, I mean, you know, there's a good chance it's going to be pretty damn good.
Well,
they haven't made a lot of mistakes up to this point.
I don't know. I hope so. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Jeremy said to me, he said, he thinks a soccer purist would like it. That's what he said to me, the home kit. We know that the away shirt.
Soccer purist could be a white jersey with a black number.
Well, you know.
And nothing
you know
else.
What? If it is like that old German, the white.
Yeah, there you
that
go.
That would
yeah.
be sweet.
The away shirt's going to be white, so we know that. And it is what it is, you know.
Yeah,
I'll buy it anyway.
Again,
I'll buy it anyway.
The colors aren't bad.
That's true. So
we know we're okay as long as it's not like made by Warrior, we're okay. And it's not.
Yeah, it's not going to be like some 1980s public pool shorts pattern.
That'd be awesome.
Jams.
Actually, that'd be pretty cool.
So okay, maybe it will be.
Be like those late 90s Newcastle kits, the goalkeepers.
Yes, those were
dizzy
or something.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can get to the big news. First, just want to just, as again, a plea to everyone to buy their season tickets and get in early. Sacramento Republic is expanding their new field that they built just last year.
Which was already too small.
Which was too small the day they built it. They've already sold 7,000 season tickets
Jesus.
For next year.
That's more than some stadiums have.
Yes.
That's more than our stadium.
That's yeah. So, St. Louis, you need to step up. We need to make a good showing. So, if you've been on the fence, don't wait.
I understand that, but also Sacramento have kicked a ball already.
That's true.
People
know
what they're getting into.
That's true.
I'm also hoping that once we get a rolling, the momentum really does kick on.
Yeah, I mean, and 7,000 is by far and away the best in the league. It's not like nobody's even close to them in attendance. You know,
mm-hmm. That's bigger than some season tickets for MLS clubs.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying we have to have 7,000.
The guys at Chivas are just in a corner, rocking back and forth.
They're crying. They're fetal underneath their desks.
No, and it's a tribute to how hard Sacramento have worked, the great season they had last year. But, you know, a team like the Oklahoma City Energy last year averaged around 4,000. You know, that would be ideal. That would be, you know, So let's get there, folks.
Yeah, and while I know the numbers have been good, they need to be better.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy has said several times that they're over halfway to their goal. Now, I don't know what their goal is, but...
But we're 2 months away now, guys.
Yeah, so let's buy them.
Understood. I understood that we're only 2 months away, but you'd have to think that once they start announcing players, that's going to give us a big old jump.
Yeah, there's going to be a huge
all these things.
The schedule
help, right.
will give us a jump. The kits will give us a jump, you know. And once the ball does start rolling and people realize that this is going to be the place to be,
yeah.
then
well, and I think that was part of the idea of, you know, slowly trickling out these things. You know, uh-huh. we're going to do an event now and then 2 weeks and then 2 weeks, you know, to kind of keep that momentum going instead of just spilling it all out now and uh-huh. then not have to do anything until, you know, the season starts. So
and the good thing is that the faithful have stayed strong. You know, you're seeing that core group of fans, not
yeah.
just us.
And new people, yeah.
You're seeing the numbers increase at every event with more and more families, parents, individuals, you know, groups of friends, you know, at the MLS Cup, there was a lot of people that were coming up. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
And there was dads and sons, there was brothers, there was friends. You know, it's growing organically like it should, like we've always preached, and it's working.
Yeah.
There was that guy that came and sat by us, and we kind of, you know, he kind of stood by us, and we're like, come on in, come on, talk to us. And he was from Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, he's a season ticket holder from Springfield, Illinois. And that was really heartwarming, I thought. I mean, he was on his own. He didn't know anyone. He came down, and once we started talking to him and making him feel welcome in the group, I have no doubt that next year he's going to stand with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have absolutely no doubt. And, you know.
Well, and even several people, like, came up and were asking me, because I had the Luligan shirt on, and they uh-huh. were asking me. And, you know, they don't plan to stand with us, but they were like, oh, that's great. So, you know, you guys will be leading songs and chants and, you know, yeah, and we want you, wherever you sit in the stadium, to join in. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, yeah, it's all kind of coming together. And I think at the end of the day, we'll, I mean, obviously the supporters group won't be everybody's cup of tea. They won't want to with us. But I think hopefully most of the people will appreciate what we're doing.
I think we're going to enhance the atmosphere. We're not going to ruin it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, just enhance it. And, you know, we're not idiots either. I mean, we're not unapproachable.
If
we've got I'll speak for myself.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, we're not unapproachable. I want someone, if they've got an issue with us, to come and speak to us first, rather than, you know, anything else. You know,
well, and sidetrack just ever so slightly. That was one of the nice things that came out a Saturday. You know, we'd all talked about it at several points. That Liz said, hey. Being a capo, you know, leading the chants and stuff like that, what if we had other people wearing armbands,
uh-huh.
like a soccer captain, who people will know, hey, that is a game day captain. That's somebody you can go talk to who's going to be responsible. She's going to make armbands. You know, she's got this whole craft idea that goes along with it, which is fantastic.
Glitter?
Yeah, well, I hope so. You know, but...
yeah, these are all little
things
that we're going to do,
And people are going to know that we've got our shit under wrap.
Yeah. And we'll probably position them along the line between the supporters group and the general admission, you know, to help ease that burden.
And they'll also be the first ones to welcome in the people, too, as well. It won't be a standoff. It'll be, come hang with us.
Yeah.
Light this Vespa on fire and throw it.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of the ritual animal sacrifice going on over in the corner.
Yes, that happens.
It's a goat.
Someone said to me, "said why have you in the corner?" I said, "because that's not officially St. Louis County. We can get away with more, stuff in that corner."
last podcast we did talk about Dayton Dutch Lions looked like they were going out. That has since happened, come to fruition.
Condolences
to our friends in the Orange Legion and Dayton Dutch Lions fans. They're not folding. They're moving to PDL.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like is probably more appropriate.
Might be a better fit for the market, and we wish them well. But that put us at 23 teams, but we all knew all along there was going to be 24 teams. And
Beckham bought in.
Nope, David Beckham. We knew about this. Rumors were on, rumors were off, but New York Red Bull has, well, they haven't officially announced, It was reported by Soccer by Ivis, and I mean, we've heard it from several people that this is what's happening. Red Bull will have a team. So the specifics of where they're going to play and all that are still open, but
you kind of figured it was going to happen. I mean,
a few weeks ago, they came out and said they weren't going to do it, which, you know.
Sorry, and this is for 2015 season?
This is next season, yeah. So Red Bull will have a team in our league.
They got to get kicking.
Well, I think they had already done a lot of the work. Okay. I mean, they've got a big academy system in New York. They just hadn't officially gone through with it. So I think a lot of the stuff's already in place. So that's what's going to happen. New York Red Bulls is the 2014.
And they kind of really did have to do it just because of the NYCFC, the Cosmos. There's competition. They got to get their roots as dug in as possible here.
It's a very competitive market.
Yep.
And it makes sense for, I mean, again, they have a big academy. It's a good move for the Red Bulls.
So NYCFC, they're going to have their an affiliate then, rather than the
this year, yeah. Now, I mean, they may have plans to do their own in the future, but they're going
to be honest. If they choose not to, they can afford the fine.
Yeah,
that's
their affiliate team plays in the A League in Australia.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, this year it is official. The MLS Reserve League is no more. And all MLS teams are required either to field their own team in USL Pro or to have an affiliate with an existing USL Pro franchise. And earlier we mentioned, like, we're going to be the affiliate for Chicago Red Bull or Chicago Fire. so let me go down. Let's do all of the teams in the USL Pro now that we're fairly certain this is the way it's going to stand. And actually, I'm going to use this map that our good friends at Reckless Challenge came out with. If you haven't been following Reckless Challenge, Chad has been knocking it out of the park this week. He's got a bunch of exclusives.
It's been wild. It's just been wild reading.
It's almost like the Fappening.
It's
just, you just keep hitting refresh.
Every day, something new, and he has assured me that he is not done.
They have nailed it this week.
Yeah, so coming out of the AGM, it has not been officially announced by USL Pro yet, but Chad let us know. And everybody that follows Reckless Challenge on Twitter, Facebook, or just their website know there's going to be a two-conference system next year. The Western Conference will include the Vancouver Whitecaps 2, Seattle Sounders 2, Portland Timbers 2, Real Monarchs, which is Real Salt Lake 2, Sacramento Republic, the Colorado Springs Switchbacks, Los Dos, LA Galaxy 2, the Orange County Blues FC, Arizona United SC, Oklahoma City Energy FC, Tulsa Roughnecks FC, which is a new expansion team this year, Austin Aztecs, another expansion team. That's the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference is FC Montreal, which is Montreal 2.
Les Deux.
Les Deux. Toronto FC 2, still not an official name, but Rochester Rhinos, New York Red Bulls 2, whatever their official identity is, Harrisburg City Islanders, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, the Richmond Kickers, Williamson Hammerheads FC, Wilmington, sorry, Charlotte Independence, Charleston Battery, Louisville City FC, and our very own St. Louis FC. That's the Eastern Conference. So, those wondering what that means, they've decided to do a home and away for the teams in your conference. That's 22 games. And then a home and away with three local rivals. That could either be in your conference or out of your conference. They've already announced that, or Chad found this out, Oklahoma City's rivals are Tulsa FC, St. Louis FC, and the Austin Aztecs. So that's their three extra teams they play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 28-game schedule altogether. And look, if I just, you know, look at the map, our three rivals almost have to be.
You'd have to think so, wouldn't you?
Louisville, Oklahoma City, and Tulsa.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
I mean, and it makes sense that they're doing this to build rivalries. It makes sense that they're doing this for travel expenses.
Makes sense to do this with the amount of new teams coming into the league. I mean,
yeah.
they've had one heck of an expansion from 14 to 24 teams.
Right. I mean, obviously, I'm sad that we won't see, you know,
Portland
or, you know, Mitch and I's big plan of taking our wives on a romantic trip to Vancouver and then scuttling off that evening to go see a football game.
I'm sure that Rebecca would love to go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
I'm sure.
Richmond is lovely in the
Wilmington
summer.
By the Outer Banks, though. I'm telling you.
People have already said that they're looking forward to that away trip, so maybe. So there will be teams we won't see.
Until the playoffs.
Well done.
So, Chad, you know, Reckless Challenge, we partnered up with Reckless Challenge a couple weeks ago, kind of getting our Mitch is choking to death, kind of getting our feet under us with Reckless Challenge. But honestly, our new friend Chad, he is, you know, breaking all sorts of new ground here in USL Pro, making Reckless Challenge, you know, one of the best sources of information for USL Pro. So please follow Reckless Challenge on Facebook. Follow Chad Hollingsworth. He's the one. Unfortunately, Chad was a member of the Orange Legion. He's losing his Dayton Dutch Lions team. So he's channeling all of that energy into getting to the bottom and breaking news and getting scoops.
Yeah, if you're a spiteful employee, reach out to Chad.
Yeah, Chad will publish everything he finds out. And that's good news for us. So that was his big piece for today, the conference alignments and the 28-game schedule. You know, and that's just been going all over. And I do want to give him a little extra credit even, because I've seen the map that he created going around, and he's not getting credit for it in all these places, you know.
Yeah.
We know how that goes. You know, you write something, and then it takes off, and other people, you know, talk about it. But Chad broke that story for Reckless Challenge. So good for you, Chad.
And it's nice to know where we're at. We're at 14 games next season, excluding
14
cup
home
games.
Games and 14 away games. Yeah, there will be friendlies. There will be cup games. Uh-huh. Hopefully there'll be playoff games.
Hopefully.
But they may not be included with the season ticket,
yeah,
though.
That's true.
But I fully...
the open games will be, yes.
I fully admit, though, if we get to the playoffs, if we are lucky enough to get that far, if you're a season ticket holder, you're going to get priority.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
anyway,
definitely,
so.
Definitely. So another reason to buy season tickets.
Well, and let's be honest, too, is that if it does get to that point, that's going to be a very hot ticket to buy, too, as well.
Oh, yeah.
Making the playoffs right off the bat, that's,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we saw it in Sacramento last year, you know, those playoff tickets were going for huge amounts because that ball started rolling and, you know, 20,000 people went to the first couple games,
uh-huh,
and then they were squeezed down into the 8,000. So, you know, get in there. Get in on the ground floor,
it
as we keep saying.
It almost sounds like we have a recurring theme here.
Yeah, really. $150 buys you a place to stand in the Luligan section.
A little slice of happiness.
That's right. Chad's other big story, which, you know, arguably even bigger, Monday he announced that at the USL AGM meeting, they decided that in 2017 they're pushing for Division II sanctioning. Right now the USL Pro is Division III in the U.S. pyramid. They want to be Division II.
This is monstrous. I mean, this... It's not unexpected, because I do think that we all saw this coming to an extent.
I think the standard on the field was very similar to NASL anyway.
Very close. The requirements for ownership are a little bit different. Obviously, USL working with MLS makes a nice, big, happy family, and NASL is sort of the black sheep of the family. They're off doing their own thing.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, good for them. They're, you know, they're a part of this process. My biggest problem with NASL, and why I think applying for D2 might be a formality at that point, NASL's very close to that line of the number of teams they have to keep.
Yeah.
They have to be at 12 teams, and I think right now they're at 11, maybe. I'd have to count.
Well, they did announce that there's going to be an LA team.
Well, yeah, but I don't know when they start.
Again, saturation in the market kind of,
yeah,
thing over there.
I mean,
and they did also announce that they bought the Silverbacks from Atlanta. So that was a team that was going to fold,
yeah,
but the NASL has stepped in to keep it afloat. Now you add in the fact that Minnesota is one of the big, you know, big players in that expansion lotto for MLS. If they get that team, will the team stay NASL in Minnesota? Will they be able to? San Antonio is another team that is wanting in. I mean, I think they're probably the third most likely to get that NA or that MLS spot, but they're a team with big designs.
And
yeah.
And it's not, they're not, they're established in their market. They're established right. as a
they're
player.
They're also the NASL champions. I mean,
yes,
they're no mugs.
Yes.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the thing. If NASL has to keep expanding and they can't afford to lose any teams, or they'll lose D2 sanctioning just because they can't meet the requirements.
But also, there's no rules to say you can't have two Division 2s.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I saw that today.
Okay, I didn't know that. That was just a presumption.
It is true that, you know, somebody mentioned, you know, well, NASL will file for Division 1.5. You know, and I mean, we were kind of laughing, but they said there are other leagues in the world where there are two Division 2s, you mm-hmm. know, that both feed into the top division. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but it's a statement of intent for USL, I think, that they want to be that level.
No, I'm going to raise this question, and Kyle kind of brought it up on that USL group, mm-hmm. that is MLS taking control of the football pyramid? And if they are, do we care anyway? I mean,
I can see, I mean, there are concerns, and a lot of people are complaining that USL is just becoming the MLS farm league. But USL, we already know they have designs to be a 30-team league or a 40-team league. You know, mm-hmm. they want to be bigger. They want to expand into these markets that MLS can't. And, you know, we may see some juggling every year to get the format just right, or who knows what they'll do. But you're going to have the teams that are the MLS 2 teams. But you're going to always have the independent teams, you know. And I like the difference. You know, I like, you know, how some teams they're playing for different reasons. They're playing for different, you know, masters.
Well, the thing is, with having the MLS 2 teams in, you get instant brand recognition. You like,
oh, and you get marketing dollars.
You know,
if
you're bringing in a guy off the street and you say, come and watch this league, and he says, who's in it? And you go, well, we've got, you know, Charlotte, and we've got Harrisburg, and we've got St. Louis. And then you say, well, we've also got the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Right.
Reserves and the Portland Timbers.
Well, and we know they do this in Spain and in Germany.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's, you know, Bayern Munich 2 playing in the third division or whatever. I mean, obviously, it brings up some questions if we get to U.S. Open Cup rounds and Los Angeles Galaxy draw Los Angeles Galaxy 2 in the third round of the U.S. Open Cup. You know, I'm sure there'll be some sort of guidelines to not allow that to happen, but.
Well, you cross that bridge when you get to it. Yeah. I think professional pride says that if you're a Lost Dust 2 player, you're still going to go out and give it everything in front of you, Bruce Arena, because you want to notice you. But also, going back to your earlier point about the possibility of USL Pro just becoming a farm league, unless you're the Bundesliga, the Premier League, and La Liga, everything's a farm league, essentially.
Yeah, MLS is a farm league for Europe.
Well, even in the Premier League, that there are, you know,
there are farm teams.
Yeah,
Southampton.
Yeah, but it is.
Do better than the teams they sell their players to.
At MLB, for the longest time, Pittsburgh and Kansas City were farm teams for the rest of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a new concept. It's just making it a little bit more above board. But like you said,
it brings money and attention to the second division, third division.
The potential second division.
Right.
But the other thing is, too, is like, you know, okay, if we do have Los Dos playing the Galaxy, I'm going to put my money on the Los Dos kids, because those guys are wanting something. They have something to prove.
Well, yeah, Open Cup is taken more seriously by MLS clubs.
Right, sure. But you're going to see that hunger, and that's the one thing that I just really enjoy about the idea of USL Pro to begin with, is that we're seeing guys that want to take the next step, that have something to prove.
But also, from a marketing standpoint, let's say that happens, that you get the Galaxy against Los Dos, right? you're going to have the Galaxy, who are the MLS champions, and then you can also have the organization say, well, we've got the champions, and then we've also got this, our reserve team made a heck of a run in Open Cup. Yeah. I mean, you've got your two things there, rather than the Galaxy.
We need to look into that to see if there'll be some sort of arrangement where, you know, okay, these teams go into pot two and these teams go into pot one, so we can't draw...
You know,
the Galaxy
similar versus. Thing to the Champions League. You can't get drawn against someone from your own country kind of thing.
But I guess if you get down to the final, it could be.
I'd play Chicago in the final.
That'd Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think what we'll see and what I envision happening is you'll get a division within USL Pro where, you know, I'm an independent team fan. And you know what I mean? Like, yes, Louisville is my rival, but if they're playing, you know, Red Bull 2 in the Open Cup,
yeah.
Well, I want the independent team to beat the
yes.
terrible 2 team, you yes. know. So I think there's room for both, and I think it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
Well, and the one thing is, too, is that it's not like there are a whole bunch of renegade clubs. You know, it's not like STLFC is – trying to prove something in a bad sense.
Well, we don't have a Cosmos, I think. Maybe what you're trying to say.
That's where I was headed.
I mean,
yes, thank you.
The NASL, that is the thing. Everything in the NASL seems to be everybody playing on a pretty even playing field, and then Cosmos comes around and just throws cash, which I was glad to see. You know, they didn't make the finals. They didn't win the soccer bowl or whatever they're calling it these days. But, yeah, there's not a wild card in USL Pro
right.
that's splashing cash and, you know, dodgy. I think all the organizations that are left are here for a good reason. And
they've had to earn it.
Yeah, they've had to earn it. Oh, somebody had to say that.
I know.
Now, you brought it up earlier. If we do move up to D2, there are certain requirements that have to be met. Stadiums have to have at least 5,000 seats. They're supposed to be soccer-specific stadiums. You know, that's a couple of years. Teams have time to work out.
Mm-hmm.
If that's maybe that's why they said at this meeting our plan is for 2017 to get everybody on board and working towards those goals. There are also certain financial requirements that are higher than they are for USL Pro right now. Owners have to have...
reserves.
$40 billion, you know. No, I'm serious. I mean, that's,
well,
you know.
It's how do you turn a billionaire into a millionaire? You buy a soccer team.
Well,
or
yeah.
an airline.
Yeah. yeah. So, I mean, there are things that have to be, you know, checked off on the way, and maybe not every team that's currently USL Pro would be able to make that jump. That's another thing that, you know, if and when that time comes, maybe they split off and maybe there's a USL Pro 1 and USL Pro 2 like there used to be. You know, so things to think about. But again, another big story broken by Chad Hollingsworth for Reckless Challenge.
Yeah, I just like the mind's boggling too because this is something that they'd talked about for a while. But
and by the way, when we asked Jeremy for comment on these stories, we got no comment. So there
yeah,
you go.
I imagine that vice has been tightened after all these leaks came out.
Yes, but I don't know. Chad said he still got more stories for the rest of the week. So
well. You know what? Let's just wait and see what he says.
He's
going
to skin off his nose. His team isn't a USL Pro. He's just going to town.
No, I think it's a testament to the work he's done over the years. He's made friends in all these, you know, different places. So he's getting some good news, and he's getting, you know, I'm sure he's, you know, making sure everything double source and everything before he goes with this stuff. And, you know, we haven't heard, you know, USL come out and say, that's a lie. We've just heard
no comments.
Next question.
You know, I don't think anything is bad news anyway. I mean, it's all good stuff. I just
no. I mean,
I think we're
I'm
just
sure,
finding out a little sooner. Than
yeah,
more.
I'm sure
so,
USL wanted to control the flow of information. And
okay, so counterpoint.
Okay,
maybe they didn't.
Maybe they wanted it to leak.
No, I'm
leaks
dead
are good.
I'm dead serious yeah. because this the way you know. You're testing the waters. You're mm-hmm. oh, it gets leaked. You're seeing what it is.
Yeah, if everybody reacts to this new schedule format like this is the worst thing ever.
I mean, yeah.
Time for Plan B.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
nope,
no. There's some things. Some rumors are better coming from the fans than
yeah.
official.
Exactly. And I think something like this, again, it's not a secret. We know they want a D2.
Even if they,
it's
even
not
if
a secret
they,
that you kind of needed to do two conferences, yeah. Because travel from, you know, Wilmington to Seattle and Portland for a USL pro budget,
yeah,
that's a stretch.
Yeah, some of the different articles that were going around today were talking about that, how far it is from, you know, Montreal to, you know,
LA.
Arizona or, yeah, I mean.
If the way I thought about it was if I was put in charge of doing the schedule, I don't think I could have come up with a better way of doing it.
No, I don't think
you
could. To be
honest.
Yeah, and I think they want those rivalries to exist. I mean, just think about it with Cascadia, where you're going to have, not only do you have the Portland Timbers, the Seattle Sounders, and the Vancouver Whitecaps going at it in MLS, now you'll have the mini Cascadia Derby or whatever. I mean, where your fans already
the
have
saplings.
A...
The foothills.
Your fans already have a passion, you know, to work with.
Oh, you know they're getting all drawn together in USL.
Yeah.
You know that's going to happen.
So, I mean, I think it's good. I think it'll build a little...
Well, in keeping the rivalry games, that was the key to making it work.
Yeah.
Because it would kill us. And I do think... Actually, there were some conversations that I read where they actually referenced St. Louis, Oklahoma, Tulsa, that were close, but were still kind of that dividing line.
Yeah, if we just played our conference, we wouldn't play those guys, and that would be a shame.
Right,
you know?
That they're closer than 90% of our conference. But
yeah.
You know, so I think they actually did a really good job with this, and everybody should be mostly pleased with
what
it.
And if it was a straight league format... We'd be looking at only possibly 3 away games, you know. Now we're looking at 6.
Yeah.
So you know,
I'm interested to see how it plays out over the years, because my original thought was they would do kind of like they do with interleague baseball, where we would play home and away with our conference, and then we'd have 6 other opponents, and you know we'd do kind of a barnstorming tour, and then the next year we'd still have 6 opponents in the opposite conference, but maybe they wouldn't be the same 6, which would be nice because you'd get to see different teams and everything. But I kind of like the idea of building those rivalries.
I can't argue with it.
Plus, I mean, away fans, I mean, there's a 90% chance we'll all get in a bus or minivans and travel down to Tulsa for a game versus, you know, Arizona United or, you know,
Wilmington.
Yeah.
I mean, truth be told, we're not going to go see any of those East Coast games. It's
no.
Just not,
I mean, not unless you're on vacation anyway. And are, you know. But, yeah. I mean, again, these passionate fan rivalries where you can get away fans to games, that's good for everybody. That's, you know, good for the box office. That's good for the YouTube streams. That's, you know.
Yeah.
So, I like what they're doing.
Yeah, as Bert said, couldn't have done it better, I don't think.
Well,
now, if we expand more, if we get up to more teams, then obviously
we'll
have to shuffle it. But
also, who are we to complain? I mean, we're getting a team.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, we're going from nothing to this.
Yeah.
You know, we've nothing to complain about anyway.
Yeah.
If we played 24 games against the same team, I think we'd probably be okay with it right now because we're getting a team.
That might be a stretch, but...
But no, yeah, I agree. I mean... Yeah, it'd take a lot to make us unhappy at this point. So that was the big news from Reckless Challenge this week, and Chad Hollingsworth just killing it. So that's all I have on my fancy sheet of paper.
There is a reason that we partnered with those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, we're again, let me give a couple of shout-outs to they've got a new podcast down in Tulsa, Kicking It in T-Town. So, you know, they're going after these new markets with new teams to get information, so that's another podcast you can listen to. Josh Beeman has the Beeman's Republic from Sacramento. He gets some good guests on there. So, you know, if you're wanting to know more about these other teams in the league, follow Reckless Challenge, and then, you know, they do stories and they do podcasts, so you can check out other things too. So,
all right. I got two things.
Okay.
First of all, I went to see the Ambush on Saturday. They played the Detroit Wazza Flow.
The Wazza.
And I've got to thank Brian Roth for giving us the tickets. Me and JP went down there for free, and we saw the game. It was actually a really good game. It was 7-6 to the Ambush.
Wazza, for those of you who don't know, were longtime rivals of the Illinois Piesaw that we went and saw. Always had good fun with those guys.
And they did remember us. When me and Jason... peeked our face over the parapet. They said, oh, we know you.
Yeah.
But
Dominic was always a good sport.
You know, I was there to speak to Manny Forbes, but
yeah, you did a little piece on Manny on our website.
It was actually a really good night, you know, and I said I would give them a shout out on the pod for their trouble. Their next game is against San Diego on the 28th.
Okay.
And my second piece, I want to talk about the whole reckless challenge thing of the day or whatever we do now.
Yeah. It's Bird's Matt Bird's reckless challenge.
That's it. I guess kind of getting tongue-tied.
It's hard to remember your own name, I understand.
Some days.
All right. For those of you who are just joining us, this is where Matt goes in recklessly with some topic and gives his opinion, and theoretically, Mitch and I disagree with him, although on his first one,
I don't think you're going to disagree with this one either.
God damn it, you're blowing this whole
segment.
Go ahead.
All week, I have listened to like TalkSport and BBC and 606 and everything, and they're talking about, will Manchester City let Frank Lampard go?
Ah, this is a good one.
Okay,
Not their choice. He is not their player. He is on loan. It is not their choice. They are not the daddy club. They're just owned by the same people.
That being said, will Manchester City let Frank Lampard go?
And exactly. This is a test of the water to how much sway New York City have in the whole relationship.
He's not coming back. He'll come here when the Premier League season is over.
I know where I'd rather live. Manchester or New York. I know where I'd rather live.
Well, yeah, but I mean, already Claudio Reyna has said, you know, they're talking about it, but he's not committing one way or the other. To me, all signs point to Frank Lampard's going to finish the Premier League season.
I think
it's a huge mistake.
Bad mistake. I mean, you've centered your showpiece around this guy.
He was the guy in the kit. He was the guy, you know, that's going to bring, you know, soccer to New York City. Much as I love David Villa, and maybe even in his prime more than Lampard, Lampard's the face. Lampard is the name. He's who you brought in to bring people to the games.
Yes, and you know, you can't sell a fake bill of goods. I mean,
yes, you can.
Well, apparently you can.
When you have that kind of money, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
We're going to play on a baseball field, and our best player won't be here for half the season.
And they're going to get and they can do it because they can do it.
And if I was Garba, I'd be playing merry hell about this.
So. This brings me to something that, if you didn't have a topic, I was going to put this out there for you, and I'm glad that you brought it over. I'm starting to wonder how much lip service Garber's been giving the fans, the soccer world as a whole, about what he really wants out of teams.
Here's the thing, and here's why I don't think you're going to have Garber raising too much hell. Garber cannot admit in any way that New York is a failure. They can't admit that there's any mistakes being made. He won't say Yankee Stadium's a bad place for soccer.
Well, he can't admit that they're a failure, but he also can't admit that they're subservient.
But what I'm saying is he went all out to get that New York City market a team.
Uh-huh.
And he can't criticize it now because there's people waiting to pounce. There's people saying, you know, you said Miami couldn't have a team till they got a stadium. Why'd you give New York a team? You know, look at what Sacramento's doing. Look at what Minnesota's doing. Those teams are ready for MLS. New York's still not ready. They don't have a stadium. They don't have, you know, whatever. Now their big player isn't going to come back and play when the season starts. And you notice that happened with Beckham, too, when he stayed
at AC.
And caught hell for it. And the fans turned on him.
And he came over damaged, too. That was the other part about it.
But I'm telling you, when Lampard shows up, if he's not here for the beginning of the season,
the fans
will turn on him.
Absolutely.
And I mean his own fans.
Yes, absolutely.
The Bronx cheers will be.
I mean, remember there's the great picture of David Beckham screaming at the L.A. fans who were giving it to him. And he had to back down from that, and he had to apologize. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, you know what? He gave it everything, and LA won the MLS Cup. And, you know, I think it put Beckham back in his place.
There was a.
I can't believe they're gonna let that happen again though with Lampard.
I absolutely can't because.
Well, I can believe it, but I
you can't believe
they
that
shouldn't.
They shouldn't. Yes.
Right.
I agree.
There was actually a really funny thing when Steve McLaren was the England manager and he failed to get England to the Euros a couple of years ago. Beckham was playing at Columbus, and there was a massive banner that said, "Shouldn't you be in Austria?" But that's my thoughts on Lampard.
Yeah, and it'll be great. It'll be great fodder for the opposing supporter groups too. Where's Fat Frank?
But you know what? The thing is, though, some people are going to buy tickets to Dallas FC on that day because they want to watch Frank and David Villa.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the whole Beckham show.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And that's another thing that annoys me about American sports. Specifically with Beckham, it was David Beckham and the LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
And
It's not limited to soccer.
It's not.
NBC
a lot of,
does it for
but it
baseball.
Is limited
a
to
lot
here.
Of a lot of basketball
yes.
teams
yes, Kobe
sell,
and the Lakers.
Sell more for their away games versus LeBron James than they do for their home games. You know, the Jordan show used to always, the Bulls would sell out wherever they went.
You still see that now with the Blackhawks fans coming down to St. Louis for those games.
So
I mean, it's not new.
I agree with you. In an ideal world, that wouldn't happen. Uh-huh. But yeah, I think they've got a PR disaster if they don't make Frank come back and start the season here.
And so this is the thing, is that Don says, okay, I want to have X amount of teams by 2020.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he also says, I want to be one of the top three leagues 10 years later. And I think Bill over at Reckless Challenge had something about this on one of his blogs. But I think the two... I think the two are mutually exclusive.
Well, I think we all know MLS isn't going to be a top three soccer league in 10 years.
Correct.
It can't be,
15. It's still, that's
25, 30, maybe we're paying enough money to get the top players. I don't know, but I still don't see it happening.
But
he has to say that as the commissioner of the league. My goal is to make MLS the best league in the world.
Why not just the best league it can be?
Well,
see, that's exactly my point.
I'm okay with a little bit of hyperbole.
It's like with Klinsmann not saying that the US can win the World Cup. If you don't say it, then people can't buy you
when
it doesn't happen. You know, the MLS is a good league in its own right, just as the Eredivisie
and
is.
And a lot
and
to
Portuguese,
be proud of, as
the
is.
The Portuguese league
right.
is fine in
yes,
its own right.
It's absolutely fine for what it is. And quite honestly, I think it's hitting above its weight. I mean, you're looking at...
We've grown rapidly.
And it's arguably the fourth sport in the United States now. I mean, it's probably passing the NBA or NHL one way or the other.
You say that, and I... Which team is the Pelicans? Is that New Orleans?
Yeah, that's
$3.
Yeah.
$3 to get in there last week.
Yeah.
And $6.50 refillable sodas.
Yeah.
You know, and we can.
They're a new team. That's the Seattle Sonics that moved. Well, no, that was the Thunder.
Where did the Hornets?
Yeah, Charlotte Hornets.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean,
I don't know.
They're fairly new, like within the last two or three years. I mean,
but
I'm showing my ignorance. And they're already offering $3 tickets to get people into a new team.
I mean, the WNBA had that kind of stuff.
I mean, saying that, you can go 70 miles down the road to Columbia and watch Missouri right now for twigs and shit, essentially.
Yeah.
But that's, they're selling out 15 to 20,000 seat stadiums regularly.
Yeah.
That's bigger than a lot of the arenas that the hockey and NBA are
doing
in.
Well, and also let's add this week looks like DC United finally got their funding.
Thank fucking
they're,
Christ.
I mean, of course, I'm not gonna put anything paid until there's a shovel in the ground and construction has begun. But God love those DC United fans. They've deserved a new stadium for 15 years.
That's when you have these teams in these massive. Expensive metropolitan areas. Where do you find land for a stadium?
And that's the problem with New York.
Absolutely.
That's the problem with Boston. I mean, the Revolution have said they want a new stadium, which I never thought Kraft would ever give them their own stadium.
But I think Kraft is looking at what's going on in KC. And going, you know what, that looks really good.
But again, finding real estate in Boston. I mean, they couldn't do it for the Patriots, so
But the KC isn't in KC, essentially. I mean,
you have to do it right if you're going to do it. I mean, because I've been down to Dallas, and the Frisco Stadium is a good half hour outside of the city, and by that I mean like outside of the farthest ring of the city, not 30 minutes from downtown.
Yeah, it's northern.
Yeah,
it's Warren,
almost
it's like
Oklahoma.
Warren. It would be like St. Louis Stadium playing where I live. Uh-huh. You know,
right, or Warrenton or something like that, or Alton.
That doesn't work. So it can be done if it's done right, like say, Kansas City's, you know, built state-of-the-art facility. And
well, but they also put it in an area that was well-grown. It wouldn't be much different than putting it in a St. Charles.
Yeah.
You know, downtown St. Charles. They didn't put it.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be downtown, but that's where they want them if they can.
Well, the thing is that I think it's not necessarily that they want it downtown. They want it in a high-traffic area.
And easily accessible. Everybody wants to go their area.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that in theory, St. Louis could put it in Clayton the same way because it's a high volume, high.
But the thing is, within Boston, though, is that it's not just Boston. You're going to draw people from Newport, Rhode Island, and Connecticut.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, New Hampshire and stuff. So right. You're going to have to, you can't put it in Boston, to be honest, anyway. You know?
No.
Yeah.
Can't.
Well, that's what they said they were talking about. But yeah, New York, I mean, that's the biggest problem for New York FC is finding the land, then getting the land. You know, LA, I think LA2, we may have talked about it on the last podcast. I think LA2's new stadium will be built before New York's new stadium will be built.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's land in LA.
Well, and there's less palm greasing that needs to be done. I mean,
you're not on a 16-by-2-mile island.
Right.
Right.
Well, I mean, and look at, you know, the World Trade Center still isn't done. What, 15 years later?
Well, and you can automatically increase the labor costs in New York City.
Yeah, absolutely. Every cost
quadruple,
goes up.
Yeah.
Every cost goes up, so. You know? So, I mean, yeah, it's not going to get done anytime. Well, look at how many problems they had doing the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
You know, that was, and you're looking at the same footprint.
Well, basically. There's a reason that Red Bull's out in New Jersey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it got done. I mean.
And Beckham's got the same issue.
Yeah, it's not different.
I mean,
yeah, we just shake our heads.
It's not going to happen, is it?
Not where he wants it to happen. It's not.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean,
he's going to be out with the alligators if he wants help building a stadium.
Speaking of Florida, the Strikers brought in Fat Ronaldo to their.
You know what?
I say Fat. I do not mean to disparage Ronaldo. He was a great player, even when he was fat.
If he was. I would call him fat if he just sat at home in Brazil eating pies and cake. But his knees are so riddled with arthritis, he's taking Humira, the drug, which makes you put on weight.
Yeah.
But if I was Ronaldo and I saw Raul playing in that league, I'd go, you know what? I could have a go at that. I'll go live on the beach and play that.
Hey,
you know, it's a good standard of football. I'll get back in shape.
Ronaldinho seems, I mean, nobody in MLS wants to take him on. He could go play in ASL.
But the thing is with Ronaldinho, the places he wants to go are the places
I know.
He shouldn't.
We always talk about that, but you know, what the hell? Even if he's hung over out there with a hooker on one arm, he'd still be pouring them in.
You'd sell a lot of shirts and you'd sell a lot of tickets.
Right. Just get the samba beat going, he'll wake up and, you know, you get him back out there.
Okay, so just so we're all clear, we think it's a bad idea if Lampard does not come back and start.
It's a terrible idea.
Okay, so once again, your reckless challenge, we agree with you. You got to be more controversial, man.
Can you start talking about killing puppies or something? I mean,
all right, well, I've got a month now to figure it out. So
yeah, we are going to do a special holiday show, and you want to tell them about it, Mitch?
Yeah, actually, it's a good time. So Jeremy actually came up with this, our GM of STLFC, and it was a great idea. It absolutely was. Is that we always talk about the music that we listen to surrounding the game, be it
tailgates,
or what you know. I've so many times I've had somebody say, you know, I was driving down the road and Seven Nation Army came on the radio, and immediately I just start going, "Oh, St. Louis FC," you know, and I can't wait for the season, and it happens so easily. Hell, I got goosebumps as I was just doing that right now. So why not? Let's get a playlist of those songs.
Songs you'd like to hear at a tailgate party. Songs that make you
inspire soccer.
Get ready for the soccer season.
Songs that the St. Louis FC can play over the tannoy as we're entering the stadium. Things like that.
Yep. And you know, and like Brad said earlier, like the Flathead by the for Tully's.
Yeah.
You know, when we'd enter to that with Alliance, it, you know, it just inspires
a song you hear that you think of local soccer or just soccer in general.
Yep. If you put Ole Ole Ole, we're going to publicly humiliate you in horrible
ways. Yeah, good songs. We want good songs that we would listen to no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. So send those in to podcast@stluligans.com, stluligans.com.
Is that a real address?
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they were just sending them to nowhere.
It is now.
Yeah. Or it will be or in, post them on our Facebook page or on our Twitter.
Yep.
Send them to us on Twitter.
Hashtag soccer songs.
So the next podcast, which is going to be in between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, it'll be the 29th, so we're all going to be familied out and... And, well, we're all fat and old, so we're not doing anything. Well, Brad will do something New Year's, but I won't be.
So we'll have we'll just have a music episode next time.
Yeah, yeah. So if you have a copy of the song, you know, and you want to email it, that'd be great. If you don't, I can find it.
Feel free to tell us why it's your soccer song
give us a little story info. Yeah.
Yes. So what we're going to do is that we're going to set up a Spotify playlist.
Yeah, after we'll do the broadcast, the podcast with the music, just to listen to music. But yeah, for the future, we're going to set up a Spotify playlist,
and we'll link to that from the webpage. You know, but as Bird said, if you have a story that goes with the song, tell us. Yep. I want to hear it. You know, email it. You know, Facebook, whatever. Give us that story because we want to collect those stories as well and have it be part of it. And
we'll use these for tailgate parties, and you know, St. Louis FC will tap into it and use it for when we're having events and things.
Yeah,
so
it's another way for people to get involved and be a part of things. And you know, when we're standing on the tailgate and you hear that song that you contributed, and you can sit there and say, yeah, that's my jam.
That was me. Sounds good.
Oh, that was Brad. We'll just say every song chosen by Brad.
Yeah, we could do that.
If anyone wants to nominate the Steven Gerrard Born Slippy by Underworld, I'm good with that.
I will probably need you to email that.
Yeah, we're gonna have some good
ones. I'm
not
gonna have that in my collection.
So yeah, be creative. Be you know, inspire me. Let's hear some good music.
And we've got, you know what, 2 weeks here.
Yep.
You've got plenty of time to come up with it. Even if it's something that you just have to tweet real quick in the car, we'll take it.
And we're also gonna do, speaking of Spotify playlists, we're gonna do a playlist of songs that play after the podcast. A lot of people ask me, what was that song that Mitch played at the end of last week's podcast? So we've got some good ones, so we're gonna build a Spotify playlist for that too. So,
and almost every time the song ties into something that we talked about earlier in the podcast
somehow, some way,
yeah, be it a reference or something like that. You know, we don't have Christmas songs or anything like that this time, so, well, I guess we could.
I think it should be Detroit Rock City.
Can I mix it with doing the butt?
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Butthole surface.
Oh, inside jokes are so good for podcasts. I'm sorry. But I think that's all.
Go to Deadspin and look up ass getting eaten at Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
or don't.
Well, yeah, no, don't. Okay. You have anything else, Mitch?
I don't. We had such a great week.
We had so much to talk about.
It's been an amazing 2014.
Yeah.
I want to thank my fellow bitches here for making us a good podcast this year. We've had a great year with this.
Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to Reckless Challenge for bringing us into their family.
Thanks to STLFC for giving us a team.
Yep.
And Jeremy for
thanks to
reaching out to us.
Fire and Ice. Lindsay, talked to Lindsay today for the first time in a while, and we're going to do some stuff with Fire and Ice. Their Battle of the Britneys tournament is coming up for the winter time.
Yeah.
Some bad news that the FC Bordeaux Facebook and Twitter handle are no longer existing.
Oh, no.
Mm.
I just saw that today.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, hopefully it's temporary.
Maybe they're coming back with a rebrand like Columbus Crew. Who knows? But, yeah, I saw that today. I was like, oh, sorry. All right.
Well, one of us will try to reach out to Sonny and see what's going on there.
You had to end it on a downer. Let's get back into it.
All right, some good news. Manchester United 3, Liverpool 0. Yeah.
Jeremy, that was just for you.
That was just for you. It was all I could do not to text him. It was all I could do. But he'd have come back and just said, I'm in Florida, I win.
Yeah,
so,
that's
you
true.
Know.
Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, when you're on vacation, yeah. you don't notice those losses. Yeah.
He
as
wasn't
much.
On vacation. He was working.
Did you yeah. see the pictures from that?
Palm trees.
If you're going to tell me that they didn't enjoy themselves down there, I'm going to.
Some work trip. That with pina coladas in that.
No shit. Yeah. I was going to say my work trips are places yeah. like Dallas.
Yeah.
Oshkosh.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. This is Brad.
This is Mitch.
Au revoir.
And that's Bird. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
It's French. Lipstick boys, you was a beautiful